The federal government has begun briefing crossbench MPs on its proposed National Integrity Commission. But already there's concern that under the legislation proposed by the Attorney General Christian Porter, the commission would be too weak to do its job effectively. The circus surrounding Federal Minister Angus Taylor allegedly doctored documents and the Prime Minister's inquiries about the investigation dominated question time again today. Zali Steggall is the independent MP for Warringah and one of those pushing for a body with sharper teeth.
We haven't seen the proposed draft legislation at this point, so I can't say what is or isn't in it. All that's really still available is what was disclosed last year. From my point of view, what's still extremely important for me, but I know also for other members of the crossbench, it is the issues around the referral pathway and the ability to have open hearings. The National Integrity Commission needs to be seen to be holding MPs and their staff to account. There needs to be that integrity process, but also it needs to be, the public needs to have confidence that it's being seen to happen as well.
And did you get any indication from the Attorney General that the government was prepared to move on those demands?
Look, I think this is going to be a process of discussion. We don't have the draft bill at this stage. So at the moment, it's very much that process of, look, I certainly appreciate having the briefing with the Attorney General, that we are able to raise our concerns and essentially those elements that we do want to see some movement on and would like to see some inclusion in terms of that referral pathway and the public nature of hearings, or at least that accountability. This isn't just coming from us as crossbenchers, this is coming from a lot of people around Australia.
Experts have said the powers and the remit of the body proposed by the government are too narrow to be effective. I know that you agree with that assessment. Did you get any indication from the Attorney General that they are prepared to negotiate?
Look, it's too premature for that, I think, at the moment. I think it's important that they understand where the concerns are with the model that they flagged last year. Clearly, there's been a lot of discussion on this issue. I think we have a lot of parliamentary time taken up with a lot of integrity issues at the moment. And I think it's really important to do it right. This government has an opportunity to make sure a National Integrity Commission that is seen by the Australian people as actually fulfilling that role and holding parliamentarians and their staff to account to the same standards, and this is the important part, to the same standards that others within our community are held. There can't be a two-rule standard where parliamentarians and their staff are held at a different account, different level of account.
Of course, the backdrop to this is the ongoing debate about Angus Taylor, allegedly doctored documents and the Prime Minister's conduct. What do you make of how this issue is being handled by the government?
I find it very frustrating. I still view it as, I think, a private citizen now sitting in the crossbench in Parliament. I find it's an unbelievable waste of taxpayers' money that this isn't resolved with more clarity. I think if there are questions over the allegations in relation to the documents, are very serious allegations from a minister in office, I think they need to be properly investigated. I don't agree that it's a good look having a minister on the front bench while this kind of investigation is occurring. There are two issues at play. We have got the question of a National Integrity Commission. We also have the question of parliamentary standards. As a barrister in a court of law, we have ethical rules that we have to comply with. I'm absolutely astounded that here in the Parliament, there is no such thing. We have ministerial codes of conduct, but there are no parliamentarians. And I think a parliamentary standard is something that needs to be looked at as well.
Debate in the Senate on repealing the Ensuring Integrity legislation will resume today. You voted against this in the House. If the government does offer to accept New Zealand's offer to take asylum seekers, should the repeal pass? And of course, this is about Medivac, to be clear. That's what I'm talking about, the Medivac discussion.
The Medivac. Look, I'm disappointed with the focus on this from the government. I think if it could only spend half the energy it's spending on trying to repeal Medivac, on finding a solution for the poor people in detention. We can't have indefinite detention. Some people have been there for over 6 years. I find it astounding the energy and cost and taxpayer money that is being spent on this side of the equation instead of looking for a solution. So I don't agree. It's legislation that has worked. It is about getting medical assistance to people that need it. I'm briefed on issues that there's a number of people that have been brought to Australia that still are not able to receive medical treatment. So that's really concerning. I just would implore the government to, and I think this is on behalf of a lot of Australians who are really frustrated, use taxpayers' money effectively. Stop wasting it on this kind of witch hunt of repealing something, and find a solution for these people in detention.
Just on this announcement by Labor that they're now backing this Royal Commission into veterans' suicides, do you think there should be a Royal Commission into that issue?
Look, I don't know that Royal Commission is automatically the answer because it is a very costly and a very long and drawn out process. I think there's very real solutions and real problems that we need to address. And the statistics are horrific when it comes to veterans in terms of mental health. What I am focused on, and it's something I'm working on and I have starting discussions, is what is the process for veterans, especially when they are transitioning away from periods of service back into the community? How well are we assisting them? Ironically, what I've been briefed is very similar to athletes, where you have this period of when you're in the armed forces and in service, you have your life is consumed and regimented, and then that transition away is very difficult, and there are very little services, or maybe not enough services and assistance for veterans in transitioning away back to a civilian life. And I think that's where I would urge the government to really put its focus. The statistics are horrific, so we have to focus on finding solutions.
Just finally, we've seen today a parliamentary inquiry had down a lot of recommendations aimed at improving how the National Disability Insurance Scheme functions. And you're pushing for a change to the age limit. What are you pushing for here?
Well, absolutely. We have absolute age discrimination in the system at the moment. So if somebody has, and I brought a petition to the House today in relation to Chris English, who had an accident on his 69th birthday that left him a quadriplegic. Now, because he had it after the age of 65, he cannot access NDIS and he simply relies on My Age Pension, which is about $50,000 of assistance a year. Under an NDIS plan, if this accident had happened to him when he was 64, he could access up to $300,000 to get things like mobility adjustments to vehicles and proper care. At the moment, he relies on his wife and children to assist with full-time 24/7 care. So I think it's an incredible gap in the system that there's NDIS cuts off at 65 with this presumption that My Age Care is going to take care of your needs. Now, if a disability or an accident occurs that is not linked to ageing, there is no system, there is nothing that takes care of those Australians. I think that is a big gap in the system, and I'm calling on that to be fixed.
Zali Steggall, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Zali Steggall. She's the independent MP for Warringah, and this is RN Drive.